to order May 6th, and it's one of the May 6th, thank God it's Friday days, I think, for everybody. There's going to be three bills, House Bill 2210, 2212, and 2269 that we will not hear today. We've got a few things we're going to fix on them, and they'll be coming up. Okay, we're going to open a work session on House Bill 2203.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2203 comes to you from the Department of Justice. allows a state agency to adopt the Attorney General's model rules on confidentiality of mediation communications without prior approval of the governor. The requirement to seek governor approval was intended to ensure that mediation confidentiality rules were consistent with Oregon's long-standing interest in open government. There's testimony that in the 8 years since the mediation confidentiality laws were enacted, the governor has not disapproved any agency request for adoption of the rules. So this bill would take away that requirement, adding streamlining the process.
Have a motion on the bill. Representative Ackerman?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House Bill 2203 be forwarded to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved House Bill 2203 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any questions, objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
She will be here, I believe. She's here today, isn't she? Yeah, she'll be up.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
I saw her out. I'm
I have her just excused unless she doesn't show up at all.
Vice Chairman
Kirsten? Aye.
Mr. Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 2203 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Ackerman, can you carry?
Yes, I will.
Opening work session on House Bill 2205.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2205 is another bill from the Department of Justice that allows state agencies to provide the services of an employee as a mediator or facilitator to another agency or the federal government. It also allows state agencies to use the services of another agency employee or a federal government employee for purposes of mediation or facilitation. Two purposes of this bill were to save agencies the expense of hiring private contractors to do these mediations and facilitations, and also to expand the pool of mediators available to state agencies. There was testimony that this was modeled after the Federal Shared Neutrals Program. There are -1 amendments that need to be considered by this committee. Those amendments were not available in the civil subcommittee, and so we held them over to be adopted by the full committee. Those amendments exempt the Employee Relations Board from the provisions of this bill. The purpose for that is because they already have a mediation process in place.
Representative Ackerman.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move the -1 amendments into the main bill, House Bill 2205.
Okay, Representative Ackerman has moved the -1 amendments into House Bill 2205. Any objections? If not, so ordered. Any motion on the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2205 as amended be forwarded to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved House Bill 2205 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any other discussions? Objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Parker?
Aye.
Representative Flores? Excused. Representative Farrar?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth? Excused. Vice Chairman Person? Excused. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2205 is amended, moves the floor with a due pass, and Representative Flores will be the carrier. Make sure she's notified, please. Open a work session on House Bill 2228.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2228 specifies the form of a bond or letter of credit that is required of a mail agent. It also authorizes the Attorney General to bring an action against the mail agent to recover damages due to a person. There was testimony that oftentimes out-of-state companies run fraudulent schemes and have a mailbox in Oregon to indicate that they are operating in Oregon when they're not. Mail agents are prohibited from contracting with a tenant to receive U.S. mail or materials received from or delivered by a private express carrier on the tenant's behalf if the mail agent knows or should have known that the tenant has provided a false name, title, or address of the mail agent. These issues are these situations where there are out-of-state companies running fraudulent schemes or situations where a mail agent could be liable if that mail agent knows that that company is indeed not operating within the state. The reason for giving the Attorney General a cause of action was that usually the individuals that are defrauded by these schemes only lose a small amount and they are not worth pursuing on their own, so that is why this bill authorizes the Attorney General to bring cause of action. Currently, mail agents are required to have a surety bond, but the form of the bond is not specified.
Okay, need a motion on the bill? Representative Ackerman.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move that House Bill 2228 be forwarded to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved House Bill 2228 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Conversation? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye. Representative Barker? Aye. Representative Flores? Aye. Representative Thatcher? Aye. Representative Worth? Excused. Vice Chairman Spurgeon? Excused. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 2228 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and even though Representative Worth is not here, we'll make her the chair, make sure she's advised. Open a work session on House Bill 2315.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2315 expands the scope of individuals who are designated for protection and advocacy by the Oregon Advocacy Center. It clarifies that the Oregon Advocacy Center may obtain records for covered individuals who have as a legal guardian a political subdivision of the state, and it replaces references to the Oregon Advocacy Center in the ORS with one consistent description. There are amendments that need to be adopted, -6 amendments. The reason that the -4 amendments were not adopted in the civil subcommittee was because a small issue came up that was corrected in the -6 amendments. Those amendments delete several provisions from the original bill. The effect of those amendments are set out in the summary. I can go through them if anyone would like me to.
Fours? Was it dash fours?
Six.
Six.
Yeah. The dash six amendments are the ones that need to be considered by this committee. The dash four amendments are the same as the dash six amendments, except for that they delete the term youth and a youth offender for individuals who. Let me back up. The dash six amendments, one of the things that they do is to exempt inmates in Department of Correction facilities and persons in youth correctional facilities whose only disability is drug or alcohol addiction, because those are several of those individuals that would then be covered under this bill. And so those individuals are exempted. The problem that came up in the dash four amendment is that there were persons in youth correctional facilities that were not only youth offenders, but Measure 11 offenders that were put in youth correctional facilities. So the dash six amendments were changed to put the word person, so it would include everybody in the youth correctional facilities, not just those that were convicted as minors.
Have a motion on the amendments.
The dash six amendments.
Okay, Representative Barker has moved the dash six amendments into House Bill 2315. Any objections? So ordered. Need a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the House Bill 2315 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Okay, Representative Flores has moved House Bill 2315 with the dash six amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative
Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chairman McPherson excused. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 2315 as amended moves the floor with a due pass, and Representative Flores, you were marked out as a carrier. Work session on House Bill 2567.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2567 removes the 5% cap that a jury may reduce a damage award by for non-use of a safety belt in a motor vehicle accident lawsuit. Under current law, evidence of a non-use of a seat belt in a motor vehicle accident case may only be admitted to mitigate the injured party's damages. In other words, it can't be admitted in evidence to determine the comparative fault of either of the parties. The maximum amount that juries can reduce damages for the non-use of a safety belt is 5%. This bill would eliminate that cap, essentially allowing juries to decrease the amount that an individual may receive by whatever amount they determine.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gerard.
I would move the House Bill 2567 as amended be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Gerard has moved House Bill 2567 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Okay, call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
No.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores? Aye. Representative Gerard? Aye. Representative Thatcher? Aye. Representative Worth? Aye. Vice Chair McPherson excused. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair
Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 2567 moves to the floor with a due pass. And Representative Gerard, you're the carrier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're going to be busy with last week and this week. Open work session on House Bill 3468.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 3468 excludes from unlawful trade practices acts done by a publisher of a telephone directory in publication or dissemination of an advertisement if the publisher did not have knowledge of the false, misleading, or deceptive character of the advertisement. Currently, several entities that run advertisements, such as newspapers, periodicals, radio stations, and television stations, are exempted from actions for unlawful trade practices based on false, misleading, or deceptive advertisements if the entities did not have knowledge of those false advertisements. House Bill 3468 would include publishers, owners, agents, and employees of telephone directories to that list.
Any motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair,
I move House Bill 3468 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Barker has moved House Bill 3468 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson excused. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 3468 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Open an office.
Representative Flores will be the carrier. Going to open a work session on House Bill 2136.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2136 came to the Judiciary Criminal Subcommittee by a subsequent referral from the Committee on Veterans Affairs. The reason the Criminal Subcommittee got it was because it created a new crime, and that was reverted back to the original language by the Dash 1 Amendment. The Dash 1 Amendment was adopted in the subcommittee. Basically, what this bill does completely is it revises the Oregon Military Department court-martial terms, procedures, and penalties, authorizes transfer of regulation-making authority for the state militia from the governor to the adjutant general. It deletes male, deletes male gender restriction from the definition of unorganized militia, and it declares an emergency.
Have a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to move House Bill 2136 to the House floor with due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson has moved House Bill 2136 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Due pass as amended.
They had an amendment.
Due pass as amended.
As amended.
Correct.
Any conversation, objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Backman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson? Excuse. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Bill 2136 has amended, moves the floor with a due pass. And Representative Olson, would you be the carrier? Open a work session on House Bill 2803.
Chair Krieger, members of the committee, House Bill 2803 comes to you from the Criminal Subcommittee. It is amended. The Dash 1 amendments were adopted in subcommittee. What this does is it defines the word unloaded for the purposes of the offense of operating a snowmobile or all-terrain vehicle while carrying a firearm or bow. The Dash 1 amendment changed the definition of unloaded for revolvers from under the firing pin, it changed it from for the next revolution to under the firing pin.
Sure, I'd like to make a motion then that House Bill 2803 be moved to the House floor with the due pass recommendation as amended.
Okay, Representative Olson has moved House Bill 2803 as amended the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any comments, objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Beckman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson, excuse. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 2803, as amended, moves the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Olson, you're the carrier of that one, too.
Thank you, sir.
Opening work session on House Bill 2833.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2833 has been amended. Dash 1 and Dash 2 amendments were adopted in the subcommittee. The Dash 1 amendment changes the definition of counselor in the juvenile code to include juvenile probation officers and then makes the appropriate technical changes throughout the code. The Dash 2 amendments took the original bill and applied them to Deschutes County only. Essentially, the juvenile Crime Prevention Advisory Committee in 1999, the legislature enacted the ability for the county JCPACs to use some of their funds for use in focusing on younger children. There was a sunset provision, and the original bill simply eliminated the sunset provision. However, we heard from many counties some concerns because they wanted to reallocate that money back to the original committee goals, and they were concerned they would get too much pressure from other interest groups to spend that money on the younger children. Deschutes County is the one county who was asking for the sunset provision to be eliminated. Deschutes County is the one county who wants to continue the early intervention programs through these committees, and so the Dash 2 amendments eliminated the sunset as to Deschutes County only. This does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
A motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2833 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Thatcher has moved House Bill 2833 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with the referral to Ways and Means. Right?
Yes, thank you.
Any objections, discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Backman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Nay.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson, excused. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 2833 as amended, referred to Ways and Means. Open a work session on House Bill 3037.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3037 modifies the crime of aggravated murder to include the murder of a witness in a juvenile proceeding if the murder was related to the performance of the victim's official duty as a witness. It is already aggravated murder to kill an individual who is a witness in a criminal proceeding and the murder was related to the victim's official duties in the justice system. In 2000, the Oregon Court of Appeals reversed a conviction for aggravated murder in a case where a young man was pending adjudication in juvenile court and his mother had the witness against him murdered. There is disagreement among the proponents and opponents as to whether or not this bill expands aggravated murder or merely clarifies and closes a gap in the law. But what this does is it provides protection to witnesses in juvenile proceedings as well as criminal proceedings.
I have a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3037 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Barker has moved House Bill 3037 to the floor with a due pass. Pass. Any discussions?
Representative
Gerard?
Mr. Chair, for those of us that are not familiar with this, what's the difference between aggravated murder and murder?
Death penalty.
I would say it's not just death penalty, although that is one thing, but it also, a regular murder is a ballot measure 11 crime where an individual can receive a mandatory minimum of 25 years. Aggravated murder, the jury essentially determines true life, capital punishment, or something less than true life.
Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Ackerman.
Yes, just briefly, Mr. Chair, I'll be voting no because, in my opinion, it's an extension of the death penalty, which I oppose.
Okay, so noted. Representative Worth.
Mr. Chair, I'll be voting in opposition as well for the same reasons as Representative Ackerman just said.
Okay. Any further? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
No.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Ward?
No.
Vice Chair McPherson? Excused. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye.
House Bill 3037. That didn't have an amendment, did it? Moves the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Barker, you are the carrier.
I do, please. Thank you.
Open a work session, House Bill 3419.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 3419 came to us from Representatives Kitts and Riley at the request of some of their constituents. The specific case that was discussed was, and it was on the news, and so the members of the committee may be familiar with it. There was a cul-de-sac in Hillsborough where a home had been converted so that eight convicted sex offenders could live there together. This obviously caused the neighborhood, and particularly those persons who were parents in the neighborhood, some concern. However, we did hear, and so the bill in its initial form was going to restrict a sex offender on probation from living in a place where another sex offender resided, unless that was a halfway house or residential treatment facility. We did hear from Pat Schreiner of Marion County Corrections, who spoke about some concerns he had with the bill. And so Mr. Schreiner and Representative Kitts worked together and came up with the Dash 1 amendments, which does not now prohibit a living situation outright, but provides that the sex offender must have approval of their supervising probation officer. The probation officer now has to meet with treatment providers to ensure that that living situation supports the goals of offender rehabilitation and community safety. It provides for the directors of the probation agency or county managers of the Department of Corrections to have oversight on these types of multiple offender dwellings, and it essentially has those community corrections people working with the community to make sure that everyone is on the same page for the rehabilitation of the offenders.
I have a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3419 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Thatcher has moved House Bill 3419 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Worth?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson excused. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 3419 as amended moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And I believe Representative Kitts and Representative Riley want to be the carriers. Open a work session on House Bill 3471.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3471 would impose a minimum fine for certain persons convicted of felonies if the court determines at the time of sentencing that the conduct on which the conviction was based occurred while the person was engaged in the performance of their duties as an official or employee, or that the person was able to engage in that felonious conduct because of their job or position. It provides that if the person, if the defendant has a retirement plan that's funded in part or in whole by their employer, fine may not be less than 25% of the value of that employee's interest in the plan. It provides that 25% of the beneficiary's interest in the retirement plan is subject to execution for purposes of satisfying that judgment in the criminal action. We did hear from the sponsor of the bill, Representative Wisnant, as well as a gentleman from the PERS board, and PERS board worked very hard with Representative Wisnant on the bill to make sure that the federal spendthrift provisions would not be violated in any way.
Representative Ackerman.
Is there a motion on that?
We'll need one.
I'll make a motion.
Make the motion to move it?
Yes.
As amended.
It's not.
Okay, Representative Olson has moved House Bill 3471 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Ackerman.
Yes, Mr. Chair. When I was reading this last night, I came up with three or four concerns, and I obviously did not have a chance to talk to counsel about these, but I'm trying to find out what an official is, as mentioned and not defined in the Act. I assume you mean public official, but not same official, you know, bothers me in terms of the construction of a criminal statute, which are usually strictly construed. And I, of course, wasn't on the criminal sub. Can you give me some idea what the word official means?
Well, you know, I would have to look in the code to see if it's defined elsewhere before I could answer that with 100% certainty. But I do know that the reason that this bill was before the criminal subcommittee was the result of a Deschutes County case where the sheriff had basically funneled money into his personal accounts. So I would believe that, yes, indeed, by using the word official, they are speaking about public officials.
Okay, well, I think, Mr. Chair, that should be specified in the Act, since this is a criminal statute and is subject to strict construction. Let me ask another question. The offense must occur while the person was engaged in the performance of his duties Do you mean that while means that a person, I don't know what while means. Is that just because he is an officer, or are the duties, the felony has to be related to the course and scope of his employment? In other words, if I am a public official and I get nailed for a Class C felony for non-support or something, it's not arising out of my performance or my duties, but am I still going to be subject to this mandatory fine?
Representative Ackerman, I do not believe that to be the case, and I think that my reading, I mean, obviously, statutory interpretation is relative, but I think it is that it is the result of the person's ability to engage in the conduct because of their job or position that is what the court would focus on in determining whether or not. I think it's I don't believe that it is simply if I were a public official and I attempted to elude a law enforcement officer and ran into another car, that then my pension would be subject to the 25%. I think it is something that the individual has to engage in as the result of because of their ability to, as a result of their position, to take advantage of that situation.
All right. Then what was the rationale for the, I understand this fine is mandatory, and it could be quite heavy. What was the rationale of imposing a mandatory fine when felonies have their own fine structures, which are discretionary?
Representative Ackerman, I believe that the mandatory minimum fine was... I mean, what we heard from Representative Wisnant essentially was that this sheriff had embezzled a great deal of money from the county, from the government, from the people of the state of Oregon. He has a PERS fund that is paid for in part by the taxpayers, and there was a sense of injustice in the fact that he is still going to be able to collect 100% of his pension paid for in part by the taxpayers when he bamboozled them while representing them.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Ackerman, your first point that you had talked about, do you feel that needs to be changed?
I think so, Mr. Chairman, because I think that unless we're very specific in criminal statutes, it's a dream for defense counsel to come in and say, hey, a guy gets indicted, we don't know what public official, what official means.
Would you be satisfied if we move the bill across and ask if the Senate gives it a hearing for them to fix it there?
Where?
Over to the Senate. In the Senate judiciary.
I don't know how much confidence I have in getting bills out of the Senate this late date. It would take a simple fix for an amendment here to move it on. You just say public official.
Yet a delay. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
It would take a simple fix, yet another delay, and I have confidence in our counsel to coordinate with the counsel on the Senate side to include the term public, the one word public, to accommodate. And I would agree with you, Representative Ackerman, that probably for clarity it should be included. I would be confident that it would be accomplished on the Senate side.
It's your call, Mr. Chairman. I don't know how the Senate works yet.
We've worked actually fairly well together on things that need to be changed when they come across.
Okay, as long as there's some method to flag that would be fine.
Representative Ackerman, we are trying to carry our bills across the chamber, so I have made a note here, and if I don't personally carry it, I'll make sure that Council O'Leary knows about your concerns.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Gerard.
I just want to be on record as joining Representative Ackerman in that request.
It's a good point. I'm glad they you caught it. Have a motion on the bill? We had a motion on the bill.
Yes, sir.
Discussion. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Ackerman?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Aye.
Representative Rose?
Aye.
Vice Chair McPherson? Excused. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Krieger?
Aye. House Bill 3471.
It is not amended.
Let's move to the floor of the due pass recommendation. And Representative McPherson will carry the bill.
Should I see if Representative Wisnant wants to carry it?
You can? Yeah.
Okay.
We'll check and see if Wisnant wants to do it with him. Want to take care of the chair, would request that we suspend the rules that so Representative Flores and Worth can vote on the bills they did not vote on. Representative Flores, yours was House Bill 2203. How do you vote on that?
Aye.
And how about House Bill 2205?
Aye.
Representative Worth on 2203?
Aye.
And 2205?
Aye.
And then you were also absent for 2228.
Right. Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything further, committee?
Yes.
Never mind. Nothing further.
Thank you.